apart from her, and she smooths a hand over her shirt, then her skirt. Just so she knows, so there's no fucking doubt at all, I bring my finger back to my mouth, and I suck it one more time. With my eyes locked on hers, I whisper, "So fucking hot." She shudders, and her lip is quivering. I brush my finger against her lower lip, then push it past her teeth. Instantly, she draws it into her mouth and sucks. I stare at her, burning up everywhere. I take my finger out, nip the corner of her mouth, unlock the door, and back out. I give a quick wave to Mrs. Offerman. She blinks, then fixes on a smile and waves. I return to the family knowing one thing for certain. I have no clue what is going to happen when Charlotte comes over tonight. Chapter 15. When I open the door, I hand her a virgin margarita. She thanks me and takes a sip as she walks inside my apartment. She's wearing jeans, black flats, and a dressy gray tank top with some kind of lacy neckline. Damn it. She's camouflaged. I have no clue what her intentions are based on her outfit. Admittedly, I might be oversimplifying matters, but if she were wearing a short black dress and fuck-me pumps, I'd be a lot less in the dark. Then again, I'm in jeans and a black t-shirt, so I'm not sure my clothes spell game for anything to her, but I hope they do. She dangles a bag of gourmet gummy bears. "Farm fresh," she says. "Locally grown, too, I hope." "Of course. Within a 50-mile radius from farm to table." "Excellent. They better be small batch made, too," I say, mocking the food purists of the world, glad I can at least still banter with her. She lowers her voice to a conspiratorial whisper. "They're from Brooklyn. Of course they're small batch. Though I still don't understand why, if we can send a man to the moon, they can't remove the green bears from the bag." It is one of life's great mysteries. I shut the door and gesture to the living room. She walks ahead of me, and I can't help myself. I stare at her ass as she crosses the hardwood floor to my couch. She gave me the license to ogle this afternoon, as far as I'm concerned. "Along with the existence of gigantic asparagus," she quips. "I'll never understand the need for oversized vegetables, but did you really go to Brooklyn to get gummy bears?" I ask, as she settles into my beige couch. The sliding glass doors that lead to my terrace are open, and the warm June night filters in. She shakes her head as she kicks off her shoes and tucks her feet under her. The store in Brooklyn that makes them opened another shop in Murray Hill, but they are locally sourced and not made with gelatin, which is a basic requirement in a gummy bear. I join her on the couch, repeating what she's said over the years. She won't touch candies made with gelatin since gelatin comes from beef, and if she wanted beef in her candy, she'd eat beef candy, and she's not doing that. Because that's just disgusting. Which is why beef candy is not a thing. I point to my laptop. "What's it going to be? Netflix, Hulu, Castle? Will Ferrell's latest? Rom-com? Spy flick? SportsCenter to catch up on your baseball stats?" She rips open the bag of candy and pops a yellow bear into her mouth. It slides past her lips. Lucky bear. "How about Castle? Let's watch the one with the Irish mobster." I know exactly which one she means, since we've watched nearly every episode together. I find it quickly, sending a silent thanks to, well, myself, that I remembered to close out my porn last night. Fido wanders into the living room, arches an eyebrow, and meows. I'm sure in feline language he's telling her what I did, but thank God no one has created a Berlitz translation guide yet for cat. We settle into the rhythm that we've perfected over the years. She's at one end of the couch, burrowed into the pillows. I'm at the other, and the laptop is on the coffee table, streaming the show to the TV screen. We plow through half the bag of gummy bears, Charlotte sifting through the colors. I dive on the green bear grenade for her. We down our virgin drinks, and at some point during the show, she puts her feet on my thighs, crossing them at the ankles. A spark zips through me even from that, and I flash back to last night at the restaurant when she ran her foot along my leg. I briefly wonder if I have a foot fetish. I never thought I did before, but as my gaze drifts to her feet and the candy pink toenail polish that I can't seem to stop looking at, I realize I've missed nearly every word of Castle explaining to Beckett what he thinks is the motive in this episode's murder. I return my focus to the screen, but my awareness of her has leveled up, like I've had a shot of caffeine, and now my senses are on Charlotte alert. She shifts her shoulders into the pillow, and I steal a glance, wondering if she likes to be kissed there. She brushes a strand of hair away from her face, and I want to know how much she likes having her hair pulled, if at all. Castle and Beckett are this close to finding the killer when Charlotte munches on a red gummy bear, and I become intensely curious as to how the cherry tastes in her mouth. She pokes me in the belly with her big toe. I tense for a brief second, wondering if she can tell where my mind is and isn't. But hers is so clearly on the screen, since she's not looking away from our intrepid heroes. I don't get it. I was sure we'd already be naked. But then, I have no barometer for reading this woman anymore. Except, based on my astute powers of observation, I'm pretty damn sure she wants a foot rub. I reach for her foot and start massaging it, having done this many times before. As I work my way from her arch to her heel, I try to avoid the naughtiest thoughts involving her feet. No, not the ones where I suck on her toes, because I don't have that kind of foot fetish. But the ones where I hold her ankles in my hands, spread her legs, and pound into her. My dick transforms into a 2x4. The fucking turncoat. I swear, if my dick were a person, he'd be a narc, always spilling my secrets. Fuck, I mutter under my breath. She snaps her gaze to me. You okay? Yeah, fine. All out of my drink, I say, grabbing the glass from the table so I have an excuse to get some breathing room. Just keep watching. I'll be right back. It's okay. I'll wait. She hits the pause button, and that's the last thing I need. Her scrutiny as I walk to the kitchen to refill the glass I hardly want. I drag a hand through my dark hair and stare at the pitcher of margarita mix that's mocking me with its innocence. Fuck it. I grab a tequila bottle from the cupboard and deflower my drink. I bend down, yank open the freezer, and root around for more ice. For my face. A few seconds in the icebox cools me off. I return to Charlotte and raise my glass. Spiked mine, I admit, then take a long, thirsty gulp. She holds out her hand in a grabby gesture. I give her my glass and she drinks some. Mmm, she says. I set the drink down and we return to the show as they solve a murder I couldn't care less about right now. I'm not sure what to make of this afternoon's heated moment in the bathroom at MoMA, but then I'm starting to accept that I don't know what to make of a lot of what's been happening between Charlotte and me over the last few days. I wish I did have a device to read her mind, because I'd really like to know what she wants to prove to me. When the credits roll, she turns to me. Want to watch Nick's show? No, I don't want to watch TV. I want to undress you and lick every inch of you. But you're acting so damn normal, it's throwing me off. I shrug. Sure. I've only seen every episode 20 times. Which one do you want to see? I'll find it, she says, leaning across my legs to grab the laptop and toggle through Comedy Nation's streaming app to find The Adventures of Mr. Orgasm. Soon enough, the familiar theme music begins, and so do the adventures. I close my eyes and let my head fall back into the couch cushions when I realize which episode she picked. It's the one where the woman has misplaced her orgasm. She hasn't had one in a year, and she has to hire Mr. Orgasm to track down her missing climax. It's hilarious, and Charlotte laughs incessantly through the show, and I have a sneaking suspicion what she is trying to prove by acting like we're just good buds when we both know we're dying to do the deed, because she wants it as much as I do. The clues have been in front of me all along, And maybe I've been dense up until now, but I'm not anymore. I also don't think I can wait any longer to find out if I'm right. I reach across the couch and hit pause on the show. The din of a siren carries from somewhere else in the city, mingling with music from the bar down the street. My home has its own noise, the hum of possibility. We are teetering on something, something I shouldn't want, something I want desperately. What do you want to prove? You said at the museum you wanted to prove something to me. She straightens up on the couch and sits cross-legged. That we can be friends, she says matter-of-factly. Okay, and did we prove that somehow tonight? She nods, looking pleased. Yes, we ate gummy bears and drank margaritas and watched TV, and did all the things we've always done. Why did you want to prove this? Because I'm going to proposition you, she says, speaking as directly as if she were going to offer me a job. As you may know, it's been a while for me. She pauses and meets my gaze so I know what she means. I do. Oh, yes, I do. I nod. And apparently, I'm quite attracted to you. Go figure. She shrugs, as if this is a big surprise. I laugh. Yeah, go figure. I make a keep rolling motion with my hand. Do go on. She gestures to the laptop. I'd like your help. Be more specific. Pretend I'm a totally clueless guy and you need to spell it out for me, I say, trying my best to stay cool. Just as you propositioned me and asked me to be your fiancé for a week, I'd like to proposition you and ask you if you'd return the favor for the next week in a slightly different way. The way where you finish what we started last night. That was where I thought we were heading, but now that she said it, I'm completely unprepared for the reaction in my body. I am electrified. The key has been turned in the ignition, and I race down the road of possibility of reenacting my fantasies from last night. Now, I know what you're thinking, she continues, and I hope to God she doesn't know what I'm thinking, which is about how she looks naked coming on my cock. You're worried about us staying friends. That's why I said I wanted to prove something to you. We can stay friends. It won't be weird. Oh, sure. Yeah, I wouldn't say I was thinking that just now, but I've thought it before, so let's go with it. Yes, that was on my mind, I say, fibbing mildly. But we've made out like, what, 3 times already, and it hasn't changed our friendship, right? She says. Sounding so casual and so damn convincing, but I'm pretty sure she had me at farm fresh, the words she uttered when she walked in the door tonight. Right, I say in a strong, assertive tone, like I'm banging a judge's gavel because I'm so damn certain we should screw. Now, then many more times tonight. So what would you think about us kicking things up a notch during the next week? She says, then kicks me gently. I think that's a genius idea. And I'm ready to pounce on her and strip her naked, to fulfill all those fantasies I had last night and all the ones she has, to give her an epic fucking orgasm or 20 to make up for months of none but the solo variety. But deals are always done best when both parties know what to expect from the get-go. We just need a few ground rules, I say. Yes, ground rules, like no anal, right? That wasn't really on my list, but I can live with that restriction, I say with a laugh. Good, she says, nodding. Then she scrunches up her brow. Why? What were you thinking for ground rules? More like how long this will last. 1 week, until we break up. Clearly she's given this some thought. Got it. Makes sense. Then we go back to being friends. Promise? Absolutely, I say. Offering a pinky, even though, let's be honest, I don't do pinky swears, being a guy and all. Still, it seems the right time to start, so she twists her pinky around mine. That's vital, she says emphatically as we link fingers, then let go. We just slide right back into the friend zone at the end of the week. No sleepovers either, I add, because that just makes shit weird. Agreed, and no weirdness, that's another one. I nod vehemently and slice a hand through the air. I hate weirdness. We can't have any weirdness at all. Also, no lying. Definitely on board with that. She counts off on her fingers. Okay, so we've got no anal, no sleepovers, no weirdness, no lying. We do this for a week and we return to being friends. Anything else? She shoots me a look like I'm crazy. Well, duh. There's one more thing. Hit me. What is it? She rolls her eyes. Obviously, no falling in love, she says, with utter disdain for the concept. I can't help but scoff, too. Of course. Like that would ever happen. It would so never happen. There's no way. Absolutely no way. We both nod once again, completely in agreement on this topic. Then she reaches for the bottom of her tank top like she's about to strip. I hold up a hand. Whoa. You're not ready? First, I was born ready. Second, I'm pretty much always ready to go at a moment's notice, I say, my eyes drifting to my crotch, so she gets my meaning. And I have been incredibly ready for the last 48 hours. That makes her grin. But let's, you know, turn on some music and yada, yada, yada. She smacks her forehead. Right, mood. Let's get in the mood. Already in the mood. But call it that if you want. She stands and holds up a finger. I'm just going to pee first, she says, and she scurries down the hall. She heads in the direction of the bathroom attached to my bedroom, rather than the one off the kitchen. I shrug. Whatever. I click on my streaming music app, cue up some sexy, sultry numbers that remind me of the bar last night, take my wallet out of my pocket and grab a condom from it. I toss the condom on the table, and it slips out of my fingers easily. It's then that I realize my palms are sweating. Holy shit. I'm nervous. I'm fucking nervous, and that is not acceptable. I do not get nervous before sex. I am a rock star in the sheets. I am all confidence, all skill, and all focused on the woman. Charlotte is not getting anything less than my A game. Hell, she's getting nothing less than an A-plus game. I take a deep breath, letting it fill my chest. I straighten my shoulders and remind myself that this is what I excel at. This is my master class. I'm going to give Charlotte the most mind-blowing pleasure she has ever experienced in her life. I walk over to the light switch, dim the overhead slightly, and when I turn around, Charlotte is in the living room, leaning against the wall. She wears one of my white button-down shirts and nothing else that I can see. I freeze. I can't breathe. I can't blink. I can't do anything but stare at her gorgeous figure. Her blonde hair curling over the front of my shirt, her hands restless against the buttons, as if she's unsure what to do with them. Her strong legs all bare and beautiful. The edges of the shirt covering her. I don't know if she still has on her panties, but I'm going to have a field day finding out. Every atom inside me buzzes. I need to touch every part of her beautiful body, kiss every inch of her skin, lick her, taste her, fuck her, please her. Are you trying to seduce me? I ask as I walk over to her. Yes, she whispers, her voice feathery. Is it working? I nod. But that's not how this works. Enough of her setting the rules. Enough of her making decisions. This is my fiefdom. I rake my eyes over her from head to toe and watch her reaction. She breathes hard, and her eyes shine with desire. What do you mean? You're not seducing me. I brush the backs of my fingers along her cheek, taking the reins as she trembles into my touch. I'm going to seduce you. Chapter 16. With great power comes great responsibility. It's not classified intel that I'm well endowed. Charlotte's already figured that out, and she hasn't even taken off my clothes yet. But here's the secret to success when you possess a much larger than average size cock. You can't just wave it around like a big bat. You've got to treat it like a baseball manager does a closer. A cock with firepower is your secret weapon. And it's worth its weight in gold if you know what to do with the rest of the lineup. Meaning, the dick should never be the star of the show. The woman's name should be the one in lights, and you need to make her feel that way from start to finish. Warm her up right. Use all your tools, hands, fingers, mouth, tongue, words. Fortunately, I am well versed in all of the above, and I intend to show Charlotte all my skills. First, words. I have a confession to make, I say.
Yes?
I know you were trying to prove we can still be friends when we were watching TV, but I wasn't feeling very friendly toward you.
You weren't?
She asks, the tiniest bit of worry in her eyes. I shake my head. I wasn't feeling the least bit friendly when I was wondering what your lips taste like tonight, I whisper. And the worry in her gaze turns to a spark of excitement. Her chest rises and falls, as if every breath is rich with anticipation of what's coming next. I hold her face in my hands, slant my mouth to hers, and kiss her. Like a tease. A soft, slow, lingering tease that will do exactly what I promised her a kiss would do. I brush my lips over hers, tasting her, claiming her mouth, all before I slide my tongue between her red, eager lips. I moan when her tongue darts out to meet mine. This isn't our first kiss, but it's the first one that's not going to stop at kissing. It's a kiss that will go the distance. Her breasts push up against the fabric of my shirt, and soon, very soon, I'm going to meet them. I'm going to get thoroughly acquainted with her gorgeous tits, and then I'll take my sweet time getting to know every inch of her body. That's the way I kiss her, as a promise of what's to come. Her, many times. When I break the kiss, I run my thumb across her top lip, like I'm marking this territory as mine. She lets out the neediest little gasp. You taste like cherry candy and tequila and desire, I tell her, as I lower my hand to her neck, dragging my fingers along the soft, tender skin of her throat. And now that I've tasted you, I want to see the rest of you. I want to know what you look like naked. I've pictured it nonstop for days.
Get me naked then, she says in a plea.
Since you asked so nicely, I say, letting my voice trail off as I slide the first shirt button out of the hole, then the next. I'm buzzing everywhere, knowing I'm not only going to see her breasts, but I'm going to touch them, feel them, kiss them. The anticipation has its own pulse, its own presence in my apartment here with us. I want to imprint this moment on my permanent memory, to never forget how it feels to take my shirt off, Charlotte. She runs her tongue over her lips. Her eyes blaze, and she trembles. She's like a beautiful bird in a cage, wings fluttering, heart racing, dying to break free. I'm going to be the one to do it. I get to let her escape and experience all of her. I free another button from its prison, and my fingertips brush across the swell of her tits. She gasps, and I groan. And we both grin at the same time from the shared realization, because it doesn't take a mind reader to tell she loves being touched by me as much as I love touching her. Even though I'm past her breasts now, I don't spread open the shirt. I'm waiting until every damn button is undone. I want the moment to be a goddamn unveiling of her naked beauty, because I know without having seen her yet that she is gorgeous everywhere. As I reach for the final button, I drag my fingertip down her soft flesh, and she murmurs. I slide the last button through the hole and take a step back to look at her. I'm utterly floored by the woman in front of me. She's always been beautiful, but here, tonight, with the moonlight from my balcony illuminating her as she stands against the white wall in my living room, she is more than beautiful. She's an angel who's come to sin with me. My shirt is half open on her, revealing a long, luscious line from the hollow of her throat, through her cleavage, down to her belly button.
She wears pink lace panties, low on her hips. Reaching for the collar of the shirt, I slide the fabric down her shoulders, stopping briefly to dust a kiss on her collarbone, then along her arms, pausing to kiss her in the crook of her elbow, then all the way to her wrists. She shrugs off the material with a happy sigh. It falls to the ground, and my chest heats to supernova levels as I drink her in. My God. Undressing her is like unwrapping a gift. Undo the bow, open the top, and discover that what's inside is even better than you dreamed it would be on Christmas morning. She is heavenly beauty. Her breasts are round and full, and her nipples are hard little peaks, tipping up. Her belly is flat and soft, and her hips beg for my hands to grip them as I sink into her. My dick hardens to pure steel as I picture holding those hips and sliding home. But her breasts are at the front of the line right now, and they're getting all my attention first. My hands shoot out, cupping them. She moans the second I make contact and lets her head fall back against the wall. Want to know what else I've been thinking that's not so friendly? I say in a growl near her ear as I stroke the soft flesh around her nipples. What else? She asks, her voice shooting higher as I touch her. I've been wondering if you'll like having my mouth on your breasts as much as I know I'm going to love it. I wrench back to look her in the eyes. Think you will? She nods quickly. That desperation sends hot sparks down my spine. Her response is like a dream, and that's how I want her to feel, that this night with me is better than anything she's ever imagined. I want her reality to exceed any and every fantasy, especially because the Charlotte of the last few days is nowhere to be seen. The one who wanted to tease me, the one who climbed on top of me in a cab, who whispered dirty, filthy things in my ear, has left the premises. Oh, she's not far away, I'm sure. But in her place is a softer, more vulnerable Charlotte. And that's who I want tonight. So I can lead her. So I can show her. So I can take her. Lowering my mouth to one gorgeous globe, I draw that diamond peak between my lips. She lets out a little cry. And then her hands find their way to my hair, her fingers threading tightly through it as I suck on her absolutely delicious breast, then gently tug on her nipple with my teeth. I need her soft flesh, and a flash of images flickers in my mind of how hot it would be to slide my dick between her tits someday. They're so highly fuckable, and she's so damn sensitive just from my tongue. I could have a field day fucking these beauties, coming all over her skin. Not tonight, though, because that would be for me. This night is all for her. I move my mouth to her other breast, giving it the same lavish treatment as I caress her with my tongue. Her noises are the answer to the question I asked about whether she'd like this. She says yes in the way her breath catches with each lick and kiss. So you do like it as much as I do, I say.
Yes.
It is a note held long and lasting in a song, a very dirty song. I inch my way down her body, kissing her belly, flicking my tongue across her hips. She moves and moans with the path of my mouth, breathing wildly as I taste every inch of her skin. As I draw a delicious line around her belly button, I'm intensely aware of how much I want this night to be amazing for her. I want her to feel worshipped and fucked at the same time. Traveling down her body, my tongue explores the edge of her pink, barely there panties, flicking under the waistband as she quivers. I near her pussy, and this is the only place I want to be right now. The only fucking place in the universe. I hook my thumbs into the slim waistband of the pink lace. When she says my name.
Spencer.
I look up.
Will you take off your shirt?
In one quick move, my t-shirt is gone, and her hands are on my bare shoulders, and it feels fantastic to be touched by her, even if it's only as her anchor. That's all I want to be, the one who she holds on to as I rock her world with my mouth. I inch her panties down to her thighs, savoring every second of the reveal as I take in her nudity for the first time. I swallow dryly at the first glimpse of her mound and the light curls of hair that cover it. Natural blonde. I press my nose into the hair and inhale her. I am about to taste her. I am about to slide my tongue between my best friend's legs, and I've never been so fucking turned on in my life. Believe me now?
What do you mean?
Her voice sounds as if it's floating. That I'm attracted to you.
Yes,
she says on a pant. It's beyond attraction, Charlotte. I'm fucking dying to taste you, and you better not ever doubt how much I want you, with me on my knees, peeling off your panties so I can bury my face between your thighs, I tell her, and her hips shoot closer to me.
I don't doubt it anymore, I swear I don't,
she says, so damn desperate to be touched. I kiss her once, right above her clit. Her moans tell me she's an inferno, just like me. I slide the lace to her ankles, and with her hands on my shoulders, she steps out of them. I raise my face, meeting her dark eyes that blaze with the lust that matches mine. No more words. No more teasing. No more waiting. I press my hands on the insides of her thighs, widen her stance, and groan headily as I marvel at the sight before me. Charlotte's beautiful, hot, wet pussy. And that gorgeous clit, already hard and throbbing for me. I dart out my tongue, flicking it across her swollen clit, and she unleashes the most glorious moan I've ever heard in my life. I grip her thighs, holding on as I kiss her sweet pussy. I could go to town on her right now. I could lap her up like a crazed, hungry man. But as much as I want to devour her, I need to pace her, to learn if she likes it fast and hungry, or if she needs more build-up. Flicking my tongue across her clit, I lick her where she wants me most. Judging from the way her fingernails curl into my shoulders, she doesn't need much more than the tip of my tongue. She tastes like sex and dreams and lust, and she's flooding my mouth with every lick. My body isn't just an inferno. It's a volcano. My veins run with lava, and my pulse beats everywhere with desire. My dick is setting world records for hardness as it strains against the zipper of my jeans. I need to drink this woman in. I need to be coated in her. I want her wetness covering my stubbled chin, my jaw, my face. I want this slick heat on my goddamn nose. Using my fingers, I spread her open and lick across her slick folds. She moans in pleasure.
Oh, God.
That's all she says for the next few minutes as I consume her sinfully sweet pussy, learning how she likes it. She rocks into me, her hips rolling with a wildness that mirrors the staccato speed of her erratic breathing. As I slip my tongue inside her, she digs her nails into my shoulders. As I return my mouth to her clit, she bucks against me. As I slide one finger inside her tight walls, she sings. She fucking sings.
Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
She said little else the entire time, and it's awesome. I love her inability to form words. I love that she can't talk while she's in heaven from my tongue, and she can only manage moans. She hits the highest note I've ever heard, and she fucks my face in a frenzy. Her hands shoot up from my shoulders to grip my skull, and she rides my face while I lap up every last ounce of her sweetness as she comes in my mouth. She tastes better than she did in the shower. Better than my fantasies. She's all real, and her orgasm is spread on my lips and all over my chin. I am so fucking happy and so incredibly horny. I stand and loop one arm behind her head. She's shaking, trembling everywhere. Then I tell her the thing I couldn't say last night in the cab.
God, I want to fuck you so fucking badly right now. She answers me with the three best words a man can ever hear. I want you. Wait, I counted wrong. Five best words, because she adds two more. I want you so much. Chapter 17. I scoop up her warm, pliant body and carry her to the table in my dining room. Trust me, this is not a spur-of-the-moment decision. I've cycled through all the possible positions and chosen this one. Missionary, though fantastic, is not going to blow her mind for our opening night. Nor can she be on top, because I need to be in control. And no way am I fucking her from behind or on all fours the first time I sink into her. I want to see her face as I fuck her. I want to watch her lips part as she flies over the cliff, and I want to see her eyes as she comes undone. I set her bare ass gently on the edge of the wood, and her eyes widen as realization dawns on her. For a second, I want to ask if she and Bradley ever made it out of the bedroom. But the impulse fades as quickly as it appeared, because I don't care. She's mine right now, and he will never, ever get his hands on this beautiful, amazing woman again. He messed it up, and I get to have her. Stay here, I tell her sharply, as I walk back to the coffee table to grab the condom. I wasn't actually planning on going anywhere, she says in a monotone, and I smile, loving that her dry humor is never far away. When I return, I unbutton my jeans, unzip them, push them down my legs, then kick them off. In a second, those busy hands of hers are on me, tugging off my boxer briefs as she nibbles on the corner of her lip. When she frees my cock, it salutes her. Her eyes don't just widen. They turn to moons. Holy shit, she murmurs, and clasps a hand over her mouth. I laugh lightly, then peel her fingers from her lips. Yes, it'll fit, I say, answering the question I know is on the tip of her tongue.
How did you know I was going to ask that?
I don't answer her. Instead, I ask another question as I set the condom wrapper next to her on the table. Want to know why I say that?
Why?
I drag my fingers along her slippery heat. Because you're so wet, I'll slide inside you nice and easy. Then I reach for her hand. Now, touch my cock. She draws an excited breath and wraps her hand around my shaft, and I groan with decadent pleasure. She runs her hand up and down my dick, and her touch ignites me. My whole body combusts as she strokes my cock. Every inch of me is ablaze with so much want. I stand between her legs, and she's perched on the edge of my table, naked and already glowing from her first orgasm, and this moment is about as fucking perfect as a moment can be. She plays with me for another minute, her nimble fingers exploring my shaft. A rumble works its way up my chest from the soft, delicious friction of her hands. When she spreads a bead of liquid over the head of my dick, I can't take it any longer. Need to be inside you, I say, and I run my hands along her thighs, spreading her legs wider for me. Reaching for the condom, I gently tear open the wrapper and slide it on. With my hips, I nudge her legs more open and slide the head against her wetness. Her eyes roll back, and she rocks against me, seeking me out. I loop my fingers into her hair, cupping the back of her head. Put it in, I tell her, in a rough voice that leaves no room for argument. Wrapping her hand around the base, she rubs the tip of my dick against her pussy, then slides it inside, inch by inch. I let her lead. Let her take me as she can. At one point, she inhales sharply. Does it hurt? I ask. She shakes her head. Lets go of my dick and wraps her arms around my neck. No, it feels so good. That's my cue. I ease in the rest of the way and then still myself when I'm inside her. Because, hell, heaven, bliss, this is it.
me, right now, this moment in time. Her wet heat is intense. Everything, everything, everything about this feels so incredibly good. Her fingers thread their way into my hair. I clasp her hips and start to move, giving her time to adjust. I watch her expression, the concentration in her brown eyes as she gets used to me. I follow her cues, giving slow, lingering thrusts until she relaxes completely, letting me fill her. Her knees fall open, her mouth softens, and she nods. Finally, she locks her gaze to mine and whispers, "Fuck me." Two words that light up every inch of my skin. As I fuck her, she fucks me back. I sink deeper inside and she matches me, rising up to meet me. We set a rhythm, and we are more than in sync. We mesh. I try to take in every sensation of our first time. The flush that darkens the skin of her chest. The scent of vanilla lotion on her shoulders. Her noises, like a woman unleashed. Her lips are swollen and parted, and they're begging to be kissed. I dip my head to her mouth, capturing her lips as I thrust into her. We kiss. Rough, hard, sloppy, mixed with sighs that tell me she's in another world, but that world is right here with me. I slide my hands under her thighs, and she raises her legs up higher. "Wrap them around me," I tell her. She hooks her ankles around my back. "Like that?" "Just like that," I repeat, then close my eyes as the pressure becomes almost too much. My quads tighten, and I can only imagine how incredible it will be to come inside her. But I stave it off as she rocks up into me. I drive harder and deeper, hitting some spot within her that trips a switch. She gasps, shuddering. She tugs me tighter with her crossed ankles, and this is it. This is how I will take her to the edge, all tight and snug around me, beneath me, under me. She writhes and bucks, and she starts to lose control.
"Oh, God. Oh, God," she moans,
and her noises turn feral, echoing in my ears. Her body is like water, like fire. She is all the elements, all woman, all vulnerable, soft, strong femininity. She cries out, a long, low, endless, gorgeous cry. She raises her face to me, clutching her hands around my neck, hunting and searching. In a flurry, her lips are on my ear, and she whispers, as if I needed the corroboration,
"I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming,"
like a chant. And fuck, I was wrong if I thought this moment couldn't get any sexier. It did. It has. Hearing her say that in my ear, hearing her tell me she's there even though I already know, is the hottest thing ever. Because she simply had to voice it. I join her, fucking her hard to my own release, inside her at last. A minute later, after our breathing settles, I brace for the awkward to set in. But it doesn't arrive. Not as I pull out, grab the condom, and toss it into the trash can. Not as I return to her and kiss her eyelids. Not as she heads to the bathroom to clean up. And not as I ask her if she wants to watch another episode when she walks back into the living room. Still nude. We watch Castle and Beckett attempt to solve another murder. We return to who we were, munching on gummy bears and pouring more margaritas and guessing plot twists until I tug her close and Charlotte Viagra kicks back in. Soon, we're going for round two, this time on my couch, and it's not long until I hear my new favorite song as she does that thing again where she moves her lips against my ear to tell me she's coming. After, we crash, and I wake up to Fido playing the piano on my head to let me know he's hungry. Charlotte sound asleep snuggled in my arms, and the morning sun streaming across the terrace. We've already broken our first rule. Chapter 18. I get the bat signal in the early evening after two glorious days of nearly nonstop fucking, with occasional breaks for work and the bare minimum of sleep. The alert comes via text as I'm running along the West Side Highway. At the gym in my building, Dipstick is here. He's staring at my ring. I sniff opportunity like a dog. Bradley is why she said yes to being my fake fiancé in the first place, to ward off his obnoxious gift attacks and to exact her clever revenge. Thank God he lost her. But still, he's scum, and now I get to rub his loss in his face. I break right and sprint across town, dodging pedestrians, guys in suits, women in dresses, construction workers, and everyone else in New York on this Tuesday evening, as I make my way to Murray Hill. Once I reach her building, my breath coming fast, sweat streaking down my chest, I tell the doorman I'm here to see Charlotte. Since I'm on her list of approved at all hours visitors, he waves me in. I head to the elevator and downstairs to the gym. I find her in seconds. She's jogging on a treadmill at a light pace, and Bradley watches her from the exercise bike as he pedals. I lock eyes with him, give him a quick tip of the hat, and march over to Charlotte. After I hit stop on her machine, I kiss the hell out of her. She's not expecting me, but she doesn't question it. She goes with it, melting into my kiss, and soon the kiss moves from PG to PG-13. It veers into R territory when she hops off the treadmill, wraps her arms around me, and tells me to come upstairs for a quickie before we have to go to the lucky spot. That's me, Captain Fiancé at your service. As I leave, I take a gander at Bradley. He's huffing and puffing and looks mad as hell. I jut up my shoulders. What can I do? The woman wants me. The next bat signal comes from my mother later that evening as I'm working in the small office at the back of our bar, surrounded by boxes of cocktail napkins and cabinets where we store our top-shelf liquor. At first it appears as an invitation via text. Hi, dear. We have tickets for the Fiddler revival tomorrow night. Two extra. Can you and Charlotte attend? We can all go to Sardi's beforehand. To say I'm not a fan of musicals would be a gross understatement. In fact, I'm surprised my mom even asked, because I'm known in the family circle for my variety of unapologetic excuses for declining all invitations to anything involving song and dance numbers, ranging from, I'm watching paint dry, I'm busy rearranging my ties, to, I'll be having elective dental work done instead. But none of these excuses makes it from my brain to my fingers to the phone, because my first thought is that Charlotte adores Broadway. I pop out of the office to find her manning the taps at one end of the counter. Weird question, I say as I join her. Would you want to see Fiddler on the Roof tomorrow? With me? She studies my face, then places her hand on my forehead. You don't have a fever. I'm serious. Maybe it hasn't set in yet. I mean it. Should I take you to the ER now to get checked or wait for the chills to start? I tap my watch. The invitation expires in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, she claps. Yes! Yes, I want to go. I love revivals. That would be amazing. I'm not even going to ask where your bag of excuses is. I'm just going to enjoy myself. Good, I say, and I'm stepping closer to drop a quick kiss on her cheek when I stop myself in the nick of time. Panic flickers across her eyes, and she makes a small jerk of her head. Jenny's here, and so are waiters and waitresses on the floor, taking drink orders. Shit. How the hell did that almost happen? I'm not averse to PDA, but not here at work, with customers, our manager, and staff circulating. Sorry, I mumble. From her spot, mixing a vodka tonic, the dark-haired Ginny raises a well-groomed eyebrow, but says nothing. Charlotte doesn't wear her ring here, but Jenny's reaction makes me wonder if our employees can sense the change. Like animals sniffing out a storm, do they know their bosses are banging? Can they tell, too, it's a temporary thing? Questions race through my brain. Am I standing too close to Charlotte? Am I staring too hard? Is it completely obvious from the way I look at my business partner that I'm picturing her naked and fucking my face right now? I shake my head, chasing off the dirty thoughts. I try to make light of my gaffe. We almost broke another rule, I say, just to Charlotte. Which one? The no weirdness one. She laughs and pats my shoulder. You're okay, Holiday. That wasn't even tiptoeing on weird. She lowers her voice and speaks just to me. It was actually adorable, truth be told. Ah, hell, now I'm blushing, because, wait, what the hell? I must really have a fever. I've volunteered myself for the pain and suffering of musical theater, and I've been dubbed adorable. I am not okay with this. This is not acceptable. Charlotte is so getting fucked from behind tonight, so she knows there's nothing adorable about me. I'm only manly and rugged. Great, I say, coolly drumming my knuckles against the bar, like my new casual attitude will resurrect my street cred. So we'll go tomorrow, only 'cause you want to. My phone buzzes once more. I grab it, and my shoulders sag as I read, "The Offermans will be there too." I turn to Charlotte. It was an ambush, I say, then share the details. Her smile never falters. It's okay, I don't mind going with them. She leans in closer and whispers, In fact, it's been even easier to play your fiancé the last few days. Why's that? Her voice drops even lower. Because of the way you fuck me all night long. A bolt of lust slams into me. And I'm ready to drag her to the office, slam the door, and screw her here at work. But Jenny calls her over, and I return to the computer with my new wood. As I answer emails from suppliers, it occurs to me that Charlotte's comment about being adorable should make me feel weird. But it doesn't bug me, and I ask myself why. Maybe because Charlotte seems so happy to see the show. Hell, taking her to Broadway is the least I can do for her, since she's pulling off a fantastic performance this week to help seal the deal on my dad's sale. Mystery solved. I like making Charlotte happy, because she's my friend, and friends help each other. There, I teetered, but avoided breaking another ground rule. Chapter 19. The reporter joins us at Sardi's. His name is Abe. His face bears a passing resemblance to a horse, and his clothes might belong to an older brother, given that they appear two sizes too large. I'm also not sure if he has a driver's license yet, or if he's even started shaving. He snaps photos of the two families toasting and nibbling on appetizers, and I'm truly amazed at what a puff piece this feature article is going to be. Must be why the magazine assigned a cub reporter to it. But then, Metropolis Life and Times is known for giving the best blowjobs in the journalism business. Open up and take it all in. The photos are technically candid, but we're all keenly aware of the lens as we order, chat, and raise our glasses as black and white caricatures of theater and movie stars preside from the walls of this Broadway institution. Only couples are in attendance this time. Mr. Offerman and his wife, my dad and my mom, and Charlotte and me. Ordinarily, I'd tease Harper that she was banished tonight, but she's probably thrilled to sit out this required event and skip the phony, "We have no clue the reporter is here," conversation. But I get why Mr. Offerman set up the story. Pieces like this aid in the transition of a business, and showing the friendly handoff of a jewelry powerhouse as well known as Catherine's will reassure customers. We sure look polished and spit-shined for the magazine. I'm wearing a light green button-down shirt and a pale yellow tie with cartoon pandas on it, while Charlotte looks stunning in a black short-sleeved dress with a pink ribbon cinched through slim belt loops. "You didn't bring your daughters along tonight," I remark to Mr. Offerman as I finish an olive. "They're busy with end-of-year school stuff, I presume? Or not fans of theater?" He waves a hand dismissively,
We only had 6 tickets, and it seemed more important to bring them in. I nearly choke on the olive pit. Excuse me? My girls don't get involved in business affairs, he says, knocking back some of his scotch before signaling to the waiter for another. I'm not involved in my father's business, though, and you invited me, I say, pointing out the flaw in his logic. True, but I'm sure your opinion is more vital than, say, your... His remark is cut off when the reporter taps me on the shoulder. Picture of you and Charlotte by the bar? Our society page would love one of the happy couple. My gut twists as I stand, knowing this photo is a sham. It'll either run online tomorrow and then be out of date when we split up in a few more days as planned, or it will never run because, well, because we won't be the happy couple much longer. As we step away from the table, Charlotte shoots me a look that says she's thinking the same thing, that we're skirting the line. Our charade seemed fine at first, a plausible enough way to ensure my romantic entanglements didn't derail Dad's business deal, even though I was lying to my family. Now, it borders on bald-faced manipulation as I lie to, well, everyone, leaving a pit in my stomach. But the end justifies the means, I remind myself as we head to the bar. When I talked to my dad this morning, he said he expected to sign the deal by the weekend, once the final bank paperwork is completed. I hate the thought that Mr. Offerman might have walked had I not fit the mold he wanted. Still, I'm starting to see myself as more of a snake oil salesman, and I don't care for this side of me. The good part is I'll only have to lie for another few days. The bad part is I only get a few more days of pretending. Smile for the camera, Abe says as we reach the bar, the sketches of Tom Hanks and Ed Asner in the background. I wrap my arm around Charlotte and flash a grin, then steal a quick sniff of her neck. She smells like peaches. I dust a quick kiss on her cheek, and her breath catches. She inches closer, and yep, what was fake is real again, and that nagging feeling drifts away. There's heat between us, sizzle even. The camera's got to be picking up on the sparks. When I let go of her, I shoot a sheepish grin at the reporter. Sorry, can't help myself. She's too lovely. It's obvious you like her, he says, then lowers his camera and retrieves a notebook from his pocket. But I can't help but wonder, when did it become exclusive? Sorry, I ask, knitting my brow. It's new, right? The exclusivity in your relationship? Of course we're exclusive. We're engaged, Charlotte says, possessively, wrapping a hand around my arm as she deflects his question. I can tell, the reporter says, pointing at Charlotte's rock. I was asking, though, when it became exclusive. A hint of red blazes across Charlotte's cheeks, and I chime in. The engagement is relatively new, if that's what you're asking. Well, it must be new, Abe says, like a dog grabbing a bone, refusing to let go. You were in last month's South Beach Life magazine with a Miami chef, and just a few weeks ago I believe you were seen with a celebrity trainer. Fuck me and my playboy ways. I tense, my muscles tightening, and here it comes, the situation my father desperately wanted to avoid. That was just chatter, I say, as I maintain my grin. You know how it goes. You mean with Cassidy? It was casual with Cassidy Winters, he asks, inserting the adjective of his choice, casual, as if he can get me to agree to use it. No, I wasn't saying that it was casual. I was saying it was chatter, meaning there was nothing going on, I say crisply, correcting the bold little bastard. He nods and strokes his chin. Got it. But that's not the case with the chef. Because in Miami last month, you were tagged in a Facebook photo that has you giving her a kiss on the cheek. He reaches for his phone, slides his fat thumb across the screen, and shows me the photo. He had it ready and waiting. He'd called it up in advance, preparing to pounce. I shrug, my mind quickly playing out scenarios. Then I go for it. I pucker up and give Abe a quick air kiss on the cheek.
I fight every instinct to cringe as my lips come within millimeters of his baby face, but I've got to pull this off. See? I'm just an affectionate guy. He wipes his palm across his cheek. So it was nothing with the chef? I nod and gesture to his face. Just like that was nothing, I say, wishing I could give him the brush off he deserves. But if I walk away or say no comment, it will just fuel him. Answering coolly gives me the greatest chance of defusing this bomb. Abe anchors his attention to Charlotte. Does it bother you that up until a few weeks ago, Spencer Holiday was in the papers as a noted New York City playboy? She shakes her head and smiles sweetly. No. I know who he comes home to at night. Not every night, the reporter mumbles. Anger lashes through me. That's the end of Mr. Nice Guy. Excuse me? What did you say, Abe? I ask pointedly, because it's one thing to be pushy. It's entirely another to be an asshole.